Hey everyone, welcome to the Optimism Show. Today we have Lior Goldenberg, who's actually the founder of Covariance, Co-own Growth Studio, and currently, like, and most recently, actually, of Product Clank. Welcome, Lior.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me. Great finally doing this episode.
It's actually a pleasure having you here today, and I'm really excited to talk about your newest project, like Product Clank, and what you're building over there, which could really be revolutionary for all builders on the platform. And before we get into the details, though, I'd love to hear and have you present yourself and how did you even come up with the idea of Product Clank and what exactly you're building there?
Yeah, sure. So kind of a bit of background on myself. Like, I coming from corporate finance background, like borrowing corporate stuff, been doing for many years. Then in 2018-ish, I kind of realized that my true passion is in entrepreneurship and building stuff. And kind of I've been fascinated by crypto and everything that been going on there. So decided to leave corporate life and dive into crypto. And started basically a journey that kind of an endless pleasure, like keep on learning and growing. Started in the DAO space, been building with DAO Stack. Back then, we were trying to build DAO governance infrastructure. It was still early 2019, before even DAOs were a thing, but we were right about the direction, but still early. And that kind of was my segue to participate in DAOs, be active in different communities and protocols, and started to do growth and BD for projects, both like off-chain and on-chain with the public governance participation, which eventually led me to my next chapter with Collider Ventures. So they saw my work with one of the portfolio company and asked me to join to build the platform, basically be the hands-on person to support the founders after they invest in them. So that was like an exciting 2 years where I had a chance to work with like tens of founders and a lot of different protocols from different domains or in crypto, and got a lot of kind of insights around how valuable like even a single introduction for a startup founder could be, but also how we were limited in our capacity to basically help the founders, because it's about like how much attention do I have to think about the opportunities. And if I have that attention, do I have enough big of a network to basically find the right person for the right need of that founder? And after doing that for 2 years, I basically left to start my own venture called Covariance, trying to basically unlock that challenge. So coming from the DAO space, I was basically convicted, like I have this deep conviction that there is a tremendous value out there that is just locked because of coordination problem, the ability to connect supply and demand. And I was kind of looking to solve that problem. How can you let people leverage the power of the network to basically help projects and builders and also get rewarded? So if someone is able to create value, how they can get value back. And that was kind of the core premise of Covariance, those that can leverage the knowledge, the expertise, the network to create value, they should also be rewarded. And it should not be just limited to those few that get like advisory role on your cap table or something like that. So I think that's kind of the TLDR of that part. And this journey kind of been, and we'll probably dive more into each of these parts, but this journey kind of led me to the relaunch that we had that you mentioned, which is Product Clank. And that's basically the realization that in order to solve these problems, you need to have big enough of distribution. You want to have big enough audience on both sides of the market, on projects looking for help and for people looking to support. And how do you get distribution in like an era of AI and content, which is endless? So how can you even get attention of people? And that's basically what led me to Product Clank. And I will stop here, but we'll dive into probably in a bit.
It is definitely quite a challenge when it comes to the distribution, especially like for builders that just want to focus on building and don't really want to bother about the marketing side of things and what is happening over there. But also, like, before I ask you about the details about Product Clank, I'm really interested because you published this one article right before launching product client, which also builds, which practically product client builds on that premise, which is the future of venture funding and how that looks like. So practically like the zero cost startup era. And I would love to hear more about that and what inspired you to even write that practically, and how are you translating that into product client? Because what you're, from my understanding, what you're really aiming for to achieve with product client, and from what you had in the article, which we'll have linked in the description as well, is really allowing founders to fund their experiments and to fund more experiments without really having to rely on the VCs and everything that is happening in that space. So I'm really curious, like, how do you see the future of venture funding to evolve in the coming months or years?
Yeah, so I think in general, so my focus was around like the venture building, not necessarily just the funding, but funding is a big part of that. So I think we've seen the trends in the market that what used to be exclusive just to big venture capital firms or insiders is becoming more and more democratized, like starting from the ICO days that anyone could participate with all the goods, but also bads that it coming all the way to what we've seen now becoming very popular with platforms like Echo and this type of kind of crowdfunding that gives anyone equal opportunity to get in the same terms. So I think we are seeing like, and we are going to see more of that, like builders are not just relying on the heavy bags of traditional VCs, but also angels and participants. And basically, trying to get as many stakeholders into your cap table or token holders, because the more people you have, the better access and distribution you have. And that's basically what I kind of focus my, the idea with Product Clank is about solving that distribution problem. So funding is one part of it, but I'm actually coming to this problem from a different direction. We've seen like how today with AI and tools like Cursor and other like AI-based tools, like people can build products pretty easily or pretty quickly related to what they were before. But the biggest struggle is eventually distribution. How do I get to people that might care or want my product to use it and care about it? And we've seen great products with great functionality fail just because they weren't able to get the distribution. And on the other side, or on the same side, we see builders that are really good. They are really good product people, or they are very strong with tech, but they don't like or want or have a clue about building communities or building audience for their product. And what I've seen on the same time is that there is another trend that is very popular and everybody is kind of excited about it, which is like the meme coin craze with everything that comes with it. So we know that meme coins are explosive, like they can go pretty rapidly, very to get like ideas and memes and jokes to be distributed very easily. But they're also like a very pure PvP game, like people bet on meme coins because they want to earn money, and that's fine. That's kind of part of the game. But I couldn't accept the fact that this is where meme coin ends. I kept thinking how this kind of relate to the problem that I faced, which is how do I get distribution or how do I get people to care about what I build? And when thinking about it, the idea with, and this is basically what I'm writing in this article, and we'll share probably a link, that the side effect of meme coins is basically distribution. It's propagation of ideas. When I buy a meme coin, for any reason, whether if I want to let Chris know about it because I want him to win together with me, or because I'm sharing with my audience and later on I want to sell it, the immediate kind of the native natural action is kind of share the world out there. And that's a good thing for people building products. They want people to share the world. And this is where kind of I came with the idea of Product Hunt, which is basically a product hunt like directory. Builders and startups can list their product, similar as they do with Product Hunt. They just submit a form and click submit. But on the back end, there is a token being launched. And that token is basically a symbol for the virality, the popularity of that startup or product. And what it creates is basically a market for people to bet on you as a builder, on your product, and on its ability to kind of gain more attention. So if, let's say, you develop a product for marketers or people creating content, and you launch it, and I'm a content creator, and I see that this is a really good tool for me, and I know my entire community of content creators, they probably might find it useful too. So I'm going to use it. I'm going to tell them about it. And now, not only that I'm going to kind of spread the word because it's a good tool, I also have a way to basically share the success, because if I got it right, so I can also put $100 in the meme token, in the token that is kind of representing it. And if indeed the word is spread and this becomes like a product that everybody uses, I also can make a profit and basically share the success of the virality that came into be. So that's kind of the in a nutshell the concept. And what I'm excited about is that it basically takes existing primitives in the market and try to funnel them towards positive action or positive good that everybody benefits. Those that want to trade will trade. Those that want to build will build. And each one gets what they want.
It's practically aiming to bridge that gap between the traders and the builders and also the users as well. So like creating that flywheel effect where everything builds on everything else. So the growth, from my understanding, can be a lot more exponential than if it's just one aspect. Like there's a lot more differentiating factors than, let's say, a classic Web2 platform.
Yeah, because we've seen how incentives work, and people are sometimes, I'm not saying that incentives are the only reason for people to share. I don't think that if I see a bad product, I will buy into it or I will share it. But some people will, so, as we've seen with meme coins, like you don't have to believe in the meme. You just need to believe that it will become viral, even if you personally don't like it. So I've learned that we cannot expect how the market will react. But I think it's been also like people, there are articles from Hike talking about like information markets, and basically the incentives help the information spread. And then kind of, I believe like interesting stuff can happen when you get that virality out there.
And another point that we didn't touch on now, but we discussed previously, which I think is very powerful, just as you said about the distribution aspect. I know you have some amazing ideas of how to even approach the distribution challenge when it comes to helping great builders with distribution for their product and to actually get them out there a lot more, which in fact, even launching a meme coin could get them even extra users, not just traction on the meme coin. I'm really curious about like, if you could share some of those ideas that you had in mind that you're planning to implement maybe with Product Clank that will really make it a platform for builders that truly want to experiment and want to build something that will make a difference in their lives and maybe in other people's lives as well.
Yeah, so I would say because we just launched, so basically the first experiment or the first experience we're going through is with our own kind of launch. So basically the first product launching on Product Clank is Product Clank. So we launched last week, less than a week ago, and we have now a token called Pro, which is basically out there for anyone to use. And the thing that I'm constantly thinking is what will help me kind of get the word out there. So I have a product I believe in. I think it's solving a real problem. So I think more people will find it interesting. And now I'm trying to get the word out. So the things I'm trying to build now are basically trying to solve my problem with the understanding that if it will work for me, it will work for others. So some of the ideas are, for example, how do I get more people to know about it? So, for example, people like yourself that are creating video content or podcast creators or people that like to write content, basically now have an opportunity to support early stage founders by creating content in the form that they do. And potentially we can create a mechanism where part of the token allocation can go into this kind of activity. So Chris has the Optimism Show, and if he sees a new startup he likes on Product Clank, he can offer, hey, I'm going to host you on my show, and I'm going to basically spend an hour with you to learn about your product. And then we're going to share it out, and maybe my network and maybe others will hear about it. So that's positive for me. That's positive for you. And you also have skin in the game. So if indeed it was successful, you will also benefit. And that's kind of the intention. Looking to do now is basically my call to action out there is anyone that basically is doing anything that is related to growth and distribution, become like a trusted partner on the platform and participate in those product launches and be part of the kind of the experts or professional service providers that can help them get into this the ears and eyes of the audience. So that's kind of one example of a way to do it. I can elaborate on more, but I don't know if this is kind of...
Yeah, I think that's an excellent example, especially like considering the current state of the on-chain creator economy and just how many people would be even happy to share their audiences with actually to share with their audiences actually good products that are being built out there. On that point, when it comes to product line, I'll switch a bit of the topic over here. I'm really curious. Since you have these builders launching product on Product Clang, how do you envision, first of all, to start getting the initial traction of builders to start building there? Eventually, because I know you previously mentioned like having credentials and having reputation as well, how would that impact the actual success of the projects? And how would, because from my perspective, that would add a lot of trust in the projects that are launched on Product Clang. If there's like actual credentials eventually for the builders, because people would know like, okay, this is a solid builder. They're building something great here. Like I should bet on them.
Exactly. And that's kind of, I think, key because we already make a transformation from like pure memes where it's like a pure bet and people don't even care to know like who, usually the team is anonymous and you don't know anything about the meme. It's like literally like a community play, and we are trying to build something that has more content or essence into it. So reputation is key because it will kind of help people distinguish between different launches on the platform. Not saying that someone without any reputation is not possibly a great builder, but these are measures that people can use to decide how they want to make their bets. So when it comes to reputation, we start with stuff that are like the most obvious ones are like social profiles. So based on your social profile, I can first see that you are human. I can see how long have you been kind of out there, and I can read about the stuff you post. Another thing I can learn about your distribution, like how you as a builder, how many people are following you, and what is your starting point as a builder. Then you can add on this your on-chain reputation. So you connect the wallets, and that's why building on Farcaster is really native for us because it's basically built-in. I can know what your social could connect with your on-chain activity, and that gives more data points from articles you wrote on Paragraph to games you participated in, and even podcasts that could be minted later and kind of represent the stuff you've been talking about. And then comes like the interesting stuff that we can integrate other technologies like ZKTLS that allows me to derive data from Web2 services, like anything basically that represent more about me and what I'm building. So I can connect my GitHub account and show how many commits I've done, or I can do all sorts of interesting stuff that makes my profile stronger and let people make more educated guess on what they bet on,
which I think is absolutely amazing. And one thing because it adds like so much transparency to a space that it's not necessarily transparent, so it kind of flips the entire game. And one thing that I think that people should really know about you, especially since I've known you for quite some time now, is that you already have So Lior is not necessarily just talking about the reputation from an outsider perspective, but he has been working with reputation, and Covariance in the first place is based on reputation. So it's practically about connecting the tools for Product Clang to really get those projects to the next level.
Exactly. And I think this is like the exciting part, because as we build this, we can basically get or achieve the vision for covariance, where people based on their on-chain and off-chain reputation can basically leverage it in their work and in the value they create and get to participate in, from anything that I mentioned before to the people I'm connected with. So people that I have trust relationship, that's also a big part, because if I'm, for example, if I know someone from a specific, I don't know, like someone that could be beneficial for my product and I can help you get access to that person, that could be very useful for you to achieve your goals. So that's kind of where the mission of covariance comes into play. Like, how do we help people leverage the value of the network, which is, when you think about it, is like the biggest asset we build in our career.
Exactly. It's practically, it can help builders. Practically, you can help builders with any of the things that they don't necessarily want to do or don't have the time to do by tapping into other people's networks and also leveraging the network effect, which can help them really spread quite a lot when it comes to building the project in the first place. I have another question over here, which is practically, once builders and also from your experience with product client and also building covariance, what do you expect? So there's the distribution aspect. When it comes to helping projects with, and then there's definitely a few other aspects, but let's say the distribution aspect is solved for, what do you expect are the next thing builders will need help with, or the next things that product Clang could eventually, if they arise, would could help them with as a platform? Like, what are the next challenges that would come in that regard for builders?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think distribution could be like the difference, the make or break thing for a project. Like, you could build something for a year and then nobody cares about it and you wasted a year of your life. So that's key kind of to get going. But what I hope to see is that once you this proves to be right and people have now incentives to take part in your project or product, so we'll see all sorts of ways of open participation, from contributing code and development to integrating with different services and tools that can enhance your product, up to seeing like ecosystems form around these tokens. So eventually, when you think about meme coins are, yeah, they are like a token that people buy and sell, but they also a coordination tool that gets people that have nothing in common and suddenly they all kind of marching towards the same goal, whether it's like meme coin like Doge or anything like Degen or anything that in between. And the nice thing is that once every cycle of the meme coin life cycle, like, it becomes stronger, if there is a real community building around that token. And then you start seeing nice thing emerge. Like, you can see people creating intrinsic value into the community that is not just based on speculation. So people that kind of find that community very strong, for example, people building marketing tools, if I take the example from before. So anyone building in this space could tap into this ecosystem and say, okay, I want to be part of this network. I'm going to start contribute by building stuff for the products in the ecosystem. I'm going to direct revenues from my product towards the token as a way to signal that I'm kind of a part of this ecosystem. And this becomes like a new way to bootstrap communities and create something that helps beyond just the distribution. It becomes like members clubs or something that is more wider than just for a single purpose.
Yeah, I can definitely see that it could definitely evolve into the type of a club like structure where people help each other and practically collaborate to build the best product, not only to actually to build the best products, but also to have the most fun while doing that and to have the best support along the way. So it's not just like, okay, it's a platform to launch, but it's also a platform to develop and a platform to grow as your project progresses in the first place. Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's also key, because especially for small teams or solo founders, like, this is, if you can have people, collaborators that believe in your vision and join you, so that's even stronger than any kind of capital injection or any kind of having others believe in the same vision that you have makes you and them together much stronger with much better success chances.
And as the ecosystem grows, another point where I see, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that it could make also user acquisition for the actual products a lot easier. Because with covariance and with the network effect, it could also help projects get a lot more users by tapping into others that are part of the, let's say, product client ecosystem or the covariance ecosystem.
Yeah, that's right. Like someone mentioned on Twitter when they kind of comment on the product, that you can think about it like as an affiliate marketing platform, but you can benefit from the joint efforts of everyone and not just yours. So on an affiliate, like if I send you my affiliation link, so I will get a boost or something for your specific purchase. But if I'm basically in our model, everybody earns from the joint or the collaborative efforts of everyone.
That's actually quite interesting. I didn't think of that, but yeah, like actually the more success one person has, the more success everyone else practically has. Like the rising tide raises everyone.
Exactly.
So that's amazing. And I'm really curious, like I would switch a bit of a topic here. When it comes to ProductClank, because I know you also worked on some other projects before, and you probably have talked with more founders in the Web3 space than anyone that I know. So I'm really curious, when it comes to launching a new product, when it comes to experimenting on that side, what are some mistakes or some lessons that you personally learned along the way that help you drive forward and to make the next product a better success, let's say?
Yeah, no, so I don't think like I'm no expert in this, and I'm keep learning like from every day that I work on this. So I think like something definitely true, and that's part of the goal with ProductClank is really spend time on distribution more than on product, like product first, kind of test the water, see that people care about the product, and that's kind of the most important side now. It used to be different, but I think today with the tools people have, so you can iterate very fast. Like you can scrap a product and start something from new in a day. So that makes the part of distribution much more important. So I would say that's key. Yeah, I think this is kind of something that very much evident. I'm also like, there are general things that I've seen, like a lot of people are really optimizing for explosive growth or for explosive kind of a peak. Like I'm launching a token and it went to the moon and now I'm happy, but then the day after everybody dumps and I'm now in depressed. So I think like making small and consistent progress over a long period of time is much more kind of strong, sustainable, and healthy for you than just having these explosives. I know they are part of the game, especially when we talk about meme coins and the way they distribute or the way they propagate. But as a founder, you need to kind of stay out of this noise. Try to isolate yourself and be focused. If you have a goal, so that goal will not die or thrive because of a single tweet or a banger that you made. So I think that's something very important. And a lot of teams are optimizing for that explosive growth rather than being consistent. So that's, I think, like the second part.
Which when you think about it, is most it actually plays a large part of like those explosives and how most projects optimize for that compared to actual consistent growth and consistent progress is, from my perspective, plays a big part on why the entire Web3 crypto space has quite of a negative reputation, I would say. Like it's more of that, okay, like what are these guys actually doing?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's because of basically it's the liquidity. So because in crypto, there is the potential to have very early liquidity and upside for whatever you do. So it drives incentives for short-term wins. But when you look about like hundreds of years of venture building and the way these startups startup ecosystem has evolved. Companies are not going public until they are like 9, 10 years old sometimes. And there's a reason for that. There is a need to build a product, a community, a network, and that kind of evolve over time. When crypto and tokens comes into play, so all incentives are being pushed to, because there are like investors, and investors look for return, so they sometimes push the or expect from the founders to launch a token pretty easy. So investing will start early and then they can exit. And then there is a push also to create a lot of hype because that becomes like the exit liquidity for the insiders. So all of this makes a lot of the principles to be distorted. And I think a lot of the founders in the industry have been burnt because of that. So I think what I would love to see is if we could keep the same fundamentals of building a venture in the old way, but incorporating the openness, the open access, meaning like I'm starting from scratch, but from day zero, anyone can join the ride. Like in our case, they can basically bet on the success of Product Clunk by having like the meme token and with other projects they can do in different ways. That will basically allow people to be part of the journey, help create value in this journey, but also people need to be aware that this is kind of it's a long-term play. It's not like a single move to get like to a high valuation and then exit.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I have a bit of a more high-level question when it comes to this. Love to hear, like, let's say sometime from now, Product Clank has reached your vision and has reached the level that you'd like it to achieve. I'd love to hear how that future really looks like when it comes to builders, and how could that really impact the venture building space in the first place and maybe help builders lead better lives in the...
Yeah, so in a way, I imagine like a world where you get like immediate feedback and from the market, because people basically have the ability to signal to the founder if they are taking the right direction or not. In a world where basically it's a question again of liquidity. If you are able to create enough liquidity of people betting and people building, so you have like an efficient market that can kind of help create those signals. What else? I think, yeah, like if we were able to create a place that these kind of speculative games are aimed for positive outcomes, like supporting builders, that means that people, even if they don't have capital, but they have a computer and they can try to launch something nice that people want, they have a way to start and they are not dependent on raising a seed round from a VC or having enough friends and family that can back them with the capital. They can just start, because we didn't mention that, but in the model, so we are building on Clunker, and basically the model is that the person launching on Product Clunk, no matter if the token goes up or goes down, he gets a share of the trading fees, which means that from day one, as long as you are relevant, as long as people speculate on your token, they buy, they sell, you are getting a share of that. And that gives you like a constant flow of revenue that can be used to develop your product. And I think that's an innovative way to build ventures. Now, it's not only software developers. That could be like someone asked me, can I launch my book with this? And that could be a nice way to, you know, for creators to launch their publications. If like people care about that book and want to get more people know about it, they can kind of play the same game. So I think we'll see a lot of creative ways that people use it to launch stuff and get feedback from the markets.
I think that with the book example you just gave, can be an excellent example of like also an alternative way for crowdfunding, for like passion projects and stuff that some people would love to build, but might not have the distribution or might be limited in some ways. It's just an alternative way of crowdfunding to get the product out there.
Yeah, so at this point, we don't focus on the funding part. That's kind of not in the scope, because when you launch, the entire liquidity or the entire supply of the token is launched on chain and anyone can buy it. But that's definitely something that we can put in later iterations, where you keep part of the supply to use for funding, or you get initial capital to work on your product. So definitely on the pipeline.
Yeah, that's amazing, actually. Lior, is there anything else that maybe I should have asked you but didn't ask you during this interview that you believe that it's really important to cover?
Well, my hope, also part of talking to you, and hopefully more people listen to this episode. So it's basically calling for people. Like, if you like this idea, if you think that the vision is solid, I would like to have people like join our Telegram group and write a message and see how you can tap in and help. Anything from, I think at this point is mostly distribution. You want to get people to know about the product. So people that want to launch products can launch. People that want to help build a product can come. And hopefully we can kind of create an ecosystem that is aimed towards kind of making this vision true. Basically, like, distribution, technical skills. So people that like the idea and want to help me build it. So more than welcome to have people that can accelerate the features that we want to deploy and make it better, and kind of implement all these great ideas out there.
It's amazing. Yeah, so if you're a builder, definitely check out Product Clank. And we also have the Warpcast profile on Flior. So make sure to send him a DM as well. Just don't overflood it.
Yeah, no, go for it. For sure.